So today the Lord has put on my heart to talk about his love. And not just talk about his love, but what I really hope, and I feel like what he really wants, is that we all get to experience a deeper level of that love today, personally and as a church. Even as I was preparing this message yesterday, there were times where I was like, which verse and which this is, and then all of a sudden I was like, whoa, find the Lord again. Find his heart. And in those moments, it was like I got too much in my head, and then I would pull back, and then I would go, okay, back in the sea of his love, just experiencing his presence and his love, even when I'm preparing to preach, and especially when I'm preparing to preach. So today I don't want to go too fast. I want us to actually, like, as the word came in earlier today, like, picture yourself walking into the throne room, into his presence, into his arms. Like, actually put yourself there and stay there. Stay in that sea of love. Stay in that amazing, abounding, never-ending love. The Bible says, I've got two journals here, so I got to get my organization. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, my brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration, which means be complete, or let God complete you and restore you. Comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So right in here, Paul names God as the God of love and the God of peace. He says, the God of love and peace will be with you. Like, do we think of him in that name? God of love. God of love. Know this God of love. We want to know this God. We want to know him. We want to know him as love and as he is. But not just here. But he wants us to know his love and know that he is love. We've tasted parts of his love. We've tasted pieces of his love. Maybe it's been for a moment. Maybe it's been for a week. Maybe it's been for a year. Maybe you have a deeper sense of his love than you did long ago. But even now, it's still a taste. We only see in part. We only know in part. So if this is a taste of his love, whatever you've experienced in his love, that's just a fraction of how deep and never-ending his love is for you. He wants us to know his love. As we were worshiping, I got a word just poof. And I was like, are you changing the message right now? Not again. But the word was, what is your foundation? Who is your foundation? Is your foundation a certain person, a certain church, a certain way of doing church, or is our foundation actually the God of love? Is he truly our foundation? Because if he is, then when things happen in our life and when people that we trust and people that we honor, when they go through a rough time or they fall, we still have a strong foundation because it's built on His love and His love alone. Even when you feel love from one another, I think we need to remember actually that love we're feeling is Jesus' love coming through. It's actually Him loving us through that person. It's happened many, many times in my life, and people have come into my life, and I was like, oh, this is the one that's going to stay with me and support me and love me and cheer me on, and they do for a season, and then God moves them on, and I'm like, oh, no, come back. I really need this in my life, and then a few months or weeks, someone else comes, and it feels just like that. And I'm like, oh, here it is. No, you can stay with me. Okay, you can cheer me on. You can encourage me. You know, and then God moves them on. And I'm like, no. And over and over and over, it happened until I finally got it. It always felt the same way through each one of those for a season. And the reason it felt the same way was because it was the same God loving me through them. It is their love, but that love came from Him. The only way we can love others is because of His love for us and His love in us. So, what is your foundation? What is our foundation? Is it the God of love and peace, or is it something else or someone else? If it's a God of love, we won't be shaken when things happen. Our faith will be strong. Someone recently said, in a preach, and this might have been years ago, but it's in my journals, I want to live in the deep end of your love, God. I want to live in the deep end of God's love. And I say, yes, me too. I want to live in the deep end of God's love. I don't want to just have an ankle-deep experience with love. I don't want to have a knee-deep experience with God's love. I want the full package. I want His exuberant, never-ending, passionate love, and I want to live in that deep end of His love. How about you? Like, I want love. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I want love. I want real love. I want passionate love. And He's the only one that can satisfy that craving and that desire. And I feel, every time I get going, I'm like, Lord, am I missing something? Do I need to say something else? And often He goes, yes, don't forget this. So being in the deep end of God's love, it sounds wonderful, but it doesn't always look or feel exactly like what we want all the time. Because being in the deep end of God's love, sometimes it looks like fighting a giant with a sling and a stone. Somebody actually had a word about fighting, I think that was Aaron in there in prayer, fighting giants with a stick. And I was like, it's right here. And God keeps doing that. But imagine fighting a giant with a sling and a stone, and he's standing there in his armor, and he's had years and years and years of battles that he's won, and he's twice as tall as you, twice as big, and he's laughing at you, and you're standing there with a stone and a sling. Have you ever felt that way? Is there anything in your life going on right now that feels that way? But David still had to face that giant and trust in God's love. David was in the deep end of God's love. Who would deny that David was in the deep end of His love? And yet he had to stand and face his giant. That was not a fun place to be. We read the stories and we, yeah, David slayed the giant. Woo! But imagine being David in that moment and the whole army is actually shaking, thinking, David, and actually saying, David, you're crazy. Who are you? Who are you to do this? Everything around us is going, you can't do this. And yet in the deep end of God's love, you're going, yes, but God, is mighty. My God will kill that giant. My God will bring that mountain down. My God will defeat my enemies. And I have to trust him. But that's the deep end. Being in the deep end of God's love means sometimes you're thrown into the lion's den overnight. It's not just for a minute. Like, you're thrown in the lion's den, and yes, God will shut the mouths of those lions, but you have to sleep there with those lions breathing down your neck all night. What is God doing? Right now, I feel like God wants to break our paradigm of what we think God's love looks like. Because sometimes in our life, we look at others who seem to be experiencing God's love. And we go, oh, my life doesn't look as good as that. I'm not experiencing love like they are. But you haven't seen the battles I've gone through. You haven't seen the fights Julie's gone through. You haven't seen the sleepless nights and the things they had to wrestle with. Just like you, just like us. We have to trust God. And we have, in order to jump in the deep end, remember the first time you jumped in the deep end of the pool? It sounds fun. It looks fun. But do you have that moment like I did? And I'm on the diving board, and I'm like, no way. I'm going back down the ladder, and I did. Sometimes the deep end doesn't look so fun. But 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. Can we put that up there? May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Another version says, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. He is steadfast. Can we put the picture up there that I sent you? A few years ago, God gave me this picture. Plant your roots down deep in the love of Christ Jesus, who loved you and gave his life for you. And you will know the great love of God more and more. Sometimes we talk about being rooted in a place, and I know I've mentioned that before, but we're like, put your roots down deep. But really, what we need to put our roots down deep is in God's love, his heart. So whatever your life is rooted in right now, whether it's your future, your family, the place you live, or your job, or anything, and you're trusting those things, and you're worried that those things might not be there in a week or a month or 10 years, take those roots out of that thing and put it deeply in the love and the heart of Jesus. Because Jesus' love is steadfast. He never moves. He never changes. His love never goes away. Never. Being in the deep end of God's love may not look and feel like what we want all the time, but it's the best place to be. It's the best thing for us. Jude 1:21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He encourages us to keep ourselves. Actually, he commands us to keep ourselves in the love of God, the love of Christ. When that conflict happens in your home or my home, right in that moment, keep yourself in the love of God. Amen. Are we letting ourselves get into the moment and we're thinking with a human brain and thinking with worldly wisdom and going, how do I win this war? How do I win this fight? Or how do I get out of this? Or am I keeping myself in the love of God? When I keep myself in the love of God, no matter what that person says or does, I can look with the eyes of Jesus and the eyes of love and go, wait, I'm here for eternity. I'm with Jesus. He's with me. He's with us. What does Jesus see right here? And then we can climb out of those triggers. We can climb out of that trauma, and we can climb out of that reaction that usually happens in that moment of conflict, and we can root ourselves again in the love of God, because he commands us to keep ourselves in the love of God. When our pride is being put up against the fence and, oh, what do people think about me? When someone thinks I'm wrong, oh, no, I'm right. And, oh, no, keep myself in the love of God. God is at peace with me because Jesus died for me and I put my trust in him and his blood covers my sins. So I'm at peace with God, and that's what matters. Amen. It doesn't matter if I'm right in this moment. It doesn't matter if they think I'm right. What matters is I'm at peace with God. He's at peace with me. I have an eternal home. And he's going to get me through this moment. Just like the last time and the last 1,000 times. So we look, he says, looking for the mercy of our Lord, Jude 1:21, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What are we looking to? Looking for the mercy of Jesus Christ. Unto eternal life. Lord, would you peel back the clouds and peel back our vision and help us see into eternity for a moment. So we start with God. Everything started with God. Everything started with Elohim. Everything started with Eyeh, Asher, Eyeh. I am that I am. Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am that I am. He is the self-existent one. God, who created everything, he's always been. Can you see him in eternity? Can you, in your mind, in your spirit, can you focus on him right now, being in eternity before creation, before everything was made? I am that I am. He is the self-existent one. And then he says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image. He wanted community. He wanted love. He wanted fellowship, relationship, family. And so he created it. He created family. He created you and me. And then he says in Ezekiel 34:11-12, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. Verse 12, is there another verse there? As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. He says, I myself am going to seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them. I will rescue them from all the places that they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Do we feel like it's just a life of clouds and thick darkness sometimes? And Jesus says, God says, Elohim says, I will rescue you out of your thick cloud and darkness. From everywhere where the enemy has scattered you, I'm coming and I'm going to rescue you because I love you. I created you. I want you as family. I want you in my family. And I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to come. And I'm going to come down to where you are. And I'm going to rescue you out of the clouds and out of the dark darkness that you feel is never ending. But I'm going to end it. I'm going to overcome those clouds. And then in John 3:16, we all know it. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He brought us into his eternity, his eternal life and family. And then John 14:2, verse 3 says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. After he died on the cross, after he rose again, he went to heaven. And right now, he's preparing a place for you and me. As we're sitting here talking about him, he's talking about those who are proclaiming his name to his Father. He's talking about you if you're boasting about him. And he's preparing a place for you and me as we speak. This home, this world is not our home. We're here for now, and we're here for a good reason, and we're here for his purposes. And until he's done with us, we need to stay, and we need to do what he's called us to do. But look at eternity. Look at his love. Deep, deep love. So he's going to prepare a place for you, and he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'm coming again. And I'm going to bring you to myself, that you may be with me and I can be with you forever. Forever. That's, why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we planting churches? Why are we preaching the word? Why are we equipping the saints? Why are we doing the work of the ministry? It's because God loves you, because he loves us, because he died for us, because he sought us out and rescued us, because he's preparing a place for us, and he's going to come. He's going to come back. He's coming back, and I feel like it's getting closer and closer and closer, and the time is running out to reach more of his family. And then in Revelation 22:12, he says, look, I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. Bringing my recompense, my reward with me to give to everyone for what he has done. Meaning what we've done in his name, in this life, with the things he's given us, with the gifts he's poured in us. He's bringing a reward for those children of his, those beloved ones, according to how we've used our gifts for him in the world and in the church. So he's coming again. That's the great I am. He planned it all. He designed it all. He desired you, and he desires you right now. And he loves you right now. I've gotten a few deeper tastes of his eternal love in recent years, personally. And I pray that if you haven't yet, that he will give you some amazing personal tastes of his love, of your own. Some of mine, one was a vision. I was laying on my floor and spending time with the Lord, just waiting for him, waiting for him. A lot of times what I'll do is I say, Lord, come and do what you want to do. Say what you want to say to me. Or show me something. Show me what you want to show me. Instead of me talking all the time in prayer, I do talk, I do pray, I do ask for things, but sometimes I just wait. And one of those times when I was waiting, he did come. And I got this like split second vision of him. And he was walking ahead of me, and every once in a while he would turn around and look to make sure I was still following. And I just, in that, he didn't say anything, but in that moment I just felt such love. Like, he just wanted to make sure I'm still there and I'm still following him. And it just felt so loving that he wanted to make sure I was still coming. Another time, I was laying there and I was repenting of sins, repenting of some deep, dark things. And this is years into my salvation, years into my new life in Christ, and repenting there on the floor. And he came to me again. And I couldn't see him, but I felt like he was right here, and his face was full of love, looking at me, full of love. And I said, "Lord, you still love me?" And as soon as I asked that, he came closer. He said, "Yes, I still love you. I loved you on the cross before you knew me. I died for you when you were still an enemy of me. Why would I not love you now?" And then there was a dream when I was asking him some different things, and he gave me a dream in the night. And in that dream, he came in through the door, and there was a crowd full of people. I was way at the back of the crowd, and he was pushing tables aside to get to me. And he was shouting, like, so excited, like a long, 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 long lost friend. And then he picked me up and hugged me and lifted me up into the air. And I felt some incredible love I've only dreamed of. And I'm like, if this is his love, and if this is a taste, I can't wait for the full buffet. I can't wait for the fullness of his love. Then there's been testimonies of people who have died and actually gone to heaven and come back. And people have given testimony to me personally in my life, and they've said, the love, like the instant I got there in heaven, the love that I felt was just this permeating love that I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to come back to earth. Even though I love my family, I did not want to leave that love. But the Lord said, "You have to this one." And they came back and they kept serving the Lord. But in their heart, they're like, "Oh, I know the love that God has shed abroad in our hearts. I know it deeper than I've ever known it." And I pray that God will give you some moments like that as well. And you can ask for it. "Lord, will you demonstrate that love to me somehow like that? Because I want to know your love like that. I want to know that I know that I know it's you. And I don't want to just hear it from a preacher. I don't want to just hear it from somebody who had a great experience. I want to know. I want to know you. I want to know your love like that." Well, back in the Bible, it says in 2 Corinthians 13:11, it says, "And the God of love and peace shall be with you." But if you notice there, that comes after the instruction. "Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." So it's like there's a little condition there. Yes, Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." But there are times in my life where I felt like God was kind of a long way away. And I felt like, no, I can't get up and preach or sing or lead a worship today because it feels like we're not gelling. And it's because of what I've not done or done. And I need to repent, so I get that closeness back with, and then I feel the God of love with me again. Even though he never leaves, sometimes he lets us feel like he's gone, and we don't have that confidence. It says, what does it say? The wicked run, the wicked flee when no man chases them, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That's in Proverbs. So I want to know the God of love is right here, right next to me. Romans 1:7, it says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. We are loved by God. Romans 5:5. I want to read all of this. This is 5 through 11. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that. I mean, he just gives, but wait, there's more. That's more, better. We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. That's being reconciled with God like we've never sinned before. Like he's our dad, I'm his kid, and he's so in love with me. We're reconciled. And then 1 John 3:1-3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us? That we should be called children of God? And so we are. We are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved. Do you feel like his beloved? He says you are. You're his beloved. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But what we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Then, I want to look at a couple promises to those that love God. So we're talking about God's love. Now a couple promises about those who love God. 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is one of the most exciting verses for me. As it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Nobody's seen what God's prepared for them. No one's heard of it. We have the Word of God. We have the Bible. We have the Scriptures. And it tells us a lot. And it tells us a lot about the future. But that says nobody's actually seen or heard exactly what God's prepared for those that loves him. And you can't even imagine it. You can't even imagine how good it is. So when we're going through the lion's den, when we're going through the fiery furnace, keep our minds on this and keep loving God. 1 Corinthians 8:3, if anyone loves God, he is known by God. You know that verse that is pretty scary. It says, not all who say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, some of you, I'm going to say, depart from me, workers of sin, workers of evil, because I never knew you. Look at this verse. But if anyone loves God, God knows you. Let's keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep loving God and stay in His love. One last thing. If you struggle to love God, if you're struggling to find love for God right now in your heart, it's maybe because you haven't fully grasped the fullness of your sin and the fullness of His mercy and love. Anyone who knows how much they've been forgiven by God loves God. Remember the picture of the woman who came into Peter's house? Peter was hosting Jesus and some of the disciples and some other people probably. And this woman comes into Peter's house, and what does she do? She sits there and kisses Jesus' feet. She's down on her hands and knees, kissing Jesus' feet, crying and weeping and wiping His feet with her hair. What an intimate. Imagine a woman, men, imagine a woman coming and doing that to your feet right now. That'd be very intimate. And that's what Peter thought. Peter's like, huh? Jesus, why are you letting this woman, if you knew who this woman was and what she did, why are you letting her do this ungraceful thing, disgraceful thing? Jesus said, Simon, I came into your house. You haven't even offered me a glass of water yet. But this woman, since the moment she came in, hasn't stopped kissing me and loving on me. And He asks Peter, He says, who do you think loves the most? Is it the one who has been forgiven the most or forgiven the least? And Peter says, well, I suppose the right answer is, you know, Peter knew he was caught. The one who's forgiven the most. And Jesus says, yep. So if you want to learn how to love God, look closer at the sins He's forgiven in your life. Because the more you realize that you're a sinner, that you needed a Savior, the more you love your Savior. When I look back at my life and I go, God, I don't deserve to hold this microphone. I don't deserve to be living right now. But You saved me. You forgave me. Oh, hundreds, thousands of sins. And my love grows and grows and grows. But you know the greatest sense of love that I've ever felt in my life from God is when I get to feel His love for His people. That about breaks me. I'm like, when He shares some of that love for all of you, I'm like, oh, God, it's almost too much for this body and heart to take. But it's just, He's given me different moments where I've seen You through His love, and He's like, I love them. I love them so much. Don't mess around with them. When I first met Heather, just to tell on myself a little bit today, she was kind of at the end of a long string of girls. And that stuff is some of the hardest stuff God had to forgive in my life. And that's, when I talk about sin, I'm talking about that. But when I met Heather, He spoke to me and He said, treat this one right. And I felt his his fatherly protection on her. And I was like, yes, Lord. And I was like, whoa. I don't know why. I think it was for my sake, too. Because he's like, okay, this is enough. This stops now. But what I felt for her in that protection from her Heavenly Father, I also feel for his bride. He's like, don't mess with my bride. Love her. Cherish her. Speak well to her. Represent me well. Represent my love well. Because that's my bride. Not just my daughter. That's my bride. Do you know how much he loves you? Yes, he went to the cross for you, but then every day after that, he pulls my ear and is like, son, be careful with my bride. He loves you so much. He loves me so much. And so just as a way to bring this to a landing, First John 4:7-11 says, beloved, let us love one another. Love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So I want to break that down just a little bit. He says, beloved, he calls us beloved. Let us love one another. So he doesn't just want me to love his bride well. He wants you to love his bride well, too. Why? Because love is from God. Love is from God. And everyone that's born of God loves. If we're born of God, that should be a natural outflow as love. It just flows out of us if we're born of God. Everyone that knows God loves. If you know God, you're going to love your neighbor. If you don't know God very well, it's going to be hard for you to love your neighbor. If it's hard for you to love your neighbor, then you must not know God, according to this scripture, according to this truth. Because it says everyone that knows God loves. And I'm not talking about a warm, fuzzy feeling love. I'm talking about laying down your life for another love, the one we read earlier. Jesus laid down his life for his enemies. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. He is love. So let's dive in to the deep end of his love and share in his love and share his love with one another. He really loves us. He really, 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 really loves us. And he can't wait for us to see him face to face. Wow, we can't wait to see him, but he can't wait for us to see him face to face. He can't wait for that day. So would you just bow your heads with me? And Father, I just ask, Lord, that with all these words, that you go beyond the words and you sow your love into our hearts. Weave your love into our hearts. Weave the truth of your love into our hearts so much that we don't doubt it ever again. And that when we face our giants, we know you are faithful. We know you are loving. We know you are with us and that you will help us. knock down those giants one after the other after the other. And Lord, I'm sure there are people here that are saying, oh, I wish I could experience that, but I am struggling. Lord, will you pull back the curtains of heaven for them? And demonstrate your love for them and help them see your love. Take away the blinders. Take away the roadblocks. Take away the things that the enemy has set up in their life to deny your love. But remove those things, Lord, so that they can see how you love them too. And Lord, I just ask that you come even now and do it even now. Lord, and I just want to ask the worship team to come back up and just play a little bit. But Lord, I ask that you would just come. Lord, just come. I know you're here. But I feel like in some hearts feel like you're at a long distance from them. And I ask, Lord, that you come close to them, so close, that they can almost hear your heartbeat and how your heart beats for them too. And if there's someone sitting here thinking, I don't even know if Jesus is the way. Lord, will you crack that armor too? Lord, your word is powerful. Your gospel is powerful. And it says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if anyone believes in him, he shall not perish, but have everlasting life.